Here we go. Okay, we begin. The Mishnah on Chaf Amud Aleph had said that. It was actually on Chaf Amud Beis said that Davar Shemitzvasa Bayom Kasha Kalayom and Davar Shemitzvasa Balayla Kasha Kalalayla. But the Mishnah did not stipulate what it is that we're talking about. So the Gemara here is going to pick up with that. We're on the seventh line of the Gemara. Zehaklal Davar Shemitzvasa Bayom Kasha Kalayom. Zehaklal Asuyemai. When it says Zehaklal in the Mishnah, that typically comes to include something that has not previously been stated. So what is it that we're including? Lasuye sidur bazichin vesiluk bazichin. This is a reference to the bazichi lavona, the spoons of lavona that were frankincense, if you will, that were left on the shulchan of the lechem apanim, right by the lechem apanim. And when the Gemara here speaks about the being masader, the bazichin, putting down the bazichin, the new, fresh frankincense that they did on Shabbos, just like they put in the new, fresh lechem apanim, they put in the new, fresh bazichin, and they remove the old one from the previous week on Shabbos. So that sidur bazichin and siluk bazichin is not coming to exclude the lechem apanim itself. It's saying for sure the lechem apanim, but even the frankincense, that can be done all day long. It does not have to be done. You can even remove the old bazichin in the morning and then leave the whole table empty until, you know, for several hours until the day is almost over, and then be masader the new lechem. And the new bazichin.
Empty without the spoon, without the spoon and without the...
Yeah, without anything.
Wow.
Really without anything, which is amazing.
Yeah.
This is a variant opinion, because typically we say that the lechem upon him has to be lefanai tamid. That's what the Gemara is going to say now. The Gemara says, Uki Rabbi Yossi, this goes like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Siluk hasayoshana shachis v'sidur hasachadosha arvis. If you remove the one from the previous week, in the morning, and you put in the new one, Arvis, it doesn't really mean at night, it means in the evening, meaning before nighttime, Ein b'kach klum, that would be fine. You could do it any time during the day. Kosher kol hayom. Umani makayim lefnei Hashem tamid, it should say lefanai tamid. It says tamid. Tamid usually means always. It's got to be always there, right? That's what we understand the lechem apanim typically, is that it's always there. The lechem apanim, the shulchan is never left without a lechem apanim, without the bazichin. It's always got to be there. What does it mean? Tamid?
Are we coming to say banish mashal?
Yeah, not by banish mashal. Even before that, it's really afternoon. It doesn't mean to say Arvis at night. You can't put in the new one at night. It's got to be on Shabbos. But it's right before the evening. It's interesting. It says Arvis. It doesn't say that. But what it means to say is you could put it in the very last minute. As long as you get it in during the day, you're fine. You can leave the whole table empty. No lechem apanim, no bazichin, or nothing. As long as you got it in during the day, it's kosher kol hayom. So then what does it mean, lefanai tamid? Tamid shelo yehe shulchan below lechem. It means that you shouldn't let the shulchan go overnight without lechem. But you certainly could, at any point in the day, you can take off the bazichin and you can leave it empty until such time that you put in the new lechem. As long as you get it in during the day, that would be fine. So what we see here is that the word tamid, even though typically we understand tamid as being constant, right? But tamid can also here mean consistent. Meaning, as long as we are consistently having a shulchan with lechem at some point during the day, that's sufficient. So the word tamid can mean constant, it can also mean sufficient. The ner tamid was constantly lighting. But over here we see that the lechem apanim, at least according to Rabbi Yossi, means not constant, but consistent.
Like
as long as it's consistently
tummy.
There.
The korban tamid is given consistently every day, but it's not giving nonstop.
Oh, very good. That's another right. Exactly. So you could have the same thing with the korban tamid, which is brought consistently, but obviously not brought constantly. And so you call somebody a masmid. A masmid doesn't mean somebody who's always learning. A masmid is somebody who is consistently learning, meaning he keeps his siddurim, and he does what he needs to do.
It must be somebody who learns 2 minutes a day at the same time every day.
That's a masmid.
No, come on.
That's a masmid. If you're kavua, if you're kavua with that zman, and that zman is yehorik val yavor, you are a masmid. for those 2 minutes you're considered a masmin.
Why wouldn't we
again,
miss it? It's
is there any nafkamina to being called a masmin or not? No, not really. But my point is that a masmin is, you know, we typically think of somebody who is constantly learning as a masmin. Somebody who keeps a siddur and keeps a seder, has a seder of 5 minutes of Mesilas Hasharim in the morning, and he does that Yehurg Val Yavor. After davening, he keeps, and that's din masmin.
I would say it's kovet itim. I wouldn't say it's necessarily masmin.
Get out.
and the ending of lechem,
I hear
you're
it.
Saying as long as it's just one lechem, all.
No, you gotta have the you gotta have the 12 loaves.
Right.
But you don't have to have it on according to Rabbi Yossi all day long, all Shabbos long. And even if at some point during the day you got that lechem on there, you're good. So you can remove it in the shacharis. You can 6 a.m. you can remove it. Which is right. According to the other shita, what did they do? As they were removing one, they put in the other one. Right? It was like a joint act. They had like four different kohanim, and two were removing and two were putting on. As they were removing, they were literally putting on. So tamid means constant. There was never a point in time in which the shulchan was left without lechem.
12,
all 12. But according to Rabbi Yossi, at 6 a.m. they removed it. Uh-huh. And it could have waited 12.
They could have removed it,
and it could have waited 12 hours uh-huh. until 6 p.m. So long as 6 p.m. wasn't evening yet, and they could have left the whole shulchan for 12 hours without
empty,
clean, uh-huh. and then 12 hours later put it back on, and that would be totally fine because it is not constant. That's Mekayim Tamid still.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Anyway.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Clever. So that is a lesser known Gemara. Here's a more oft quoted Gemara. Davar shemitzvosu balayla kosha kalalayla lasuye mai. What does that come to include? Lasuye achilas psachim. This is the achilas korban pesach, as we all know. Udoloku Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This does not go like the sheet of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Tanya. You should eat the basar on this night, and basar of the Korban Pesach. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Emar kan balayla hazeh. By the Korban Pesach, it says balayla hazeh. And it says that I passed over Mitzrayim by Makas Bechoros Balayla Hazeh. When was that? Malahalon Ad Chatzos. What? Just like that one was Chatzos. That was the cutoff point. That's when it all happened. Afkan Ad Chatzos. So to here until Chatzos. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, it is only until Chatzos that we have the. That we have the ability to eat the Korban Pesach and by extension to eat the Afikomen, right? And according to some people, even by extension, Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim ends. Yeah, that's the mitzvah.
Like Rabbi
Elazar. So this is a big machlokes. I would refer you to Tosas, which we're not going to do now. But Tosas says that since that we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah because there are four different Mishnayos that that mention Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, at least in passing, and three out of the four are going like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This one is not. This is going local Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This is a sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says all night long.
I asked Rabbi Malinowitz last year
because
of the pressured your under to get everything in with that chatzos. I said it would just make it a much more enjoyable seder. B'chulei. He goes, quote unquote, it's not conventional halacha. Get it in by chatzos. So he just came to say bidi evid, blah blah blah.
Right.
He goes, it's
yes.
not conventional halacha.
Yes, I know.
Get it in by chatzos.
I know a big rabbi that eats it after.
Yes, I know. So do I. I know.
Ravasher Weiss.
Wow. Ravasher Weiss eats it after chatzos. Okay. This is a big hack in the halacha, and it's not pashut. It's definitely not pashut, and there's a lot of different rishonim going back and forth as to whom we paskin like, and we'll leave it at that. But it's not pashut.
And chutz la'aretz much more make, especially in the world of kiruv. In the world of kiruv, you can get in by 3 o'clock the next day. In chutz la'aretz much more make.
I think the chassidim.
Why would they be any more make on chutz la'aretz? It's not a din in Eretz Yisrael or chutz la'aretz. Why would they be any more make?
I just know that. I'm familiar with them.
Aren't chassidim generally make with the afikoman?
Chassidim, they can't bring me a raya from chassidim.
I mean, chassidim 11 a.m. chakras.
Yeah, come on, yeah, come on, 11 p.m. chakras.
What? Chassidim.
Nah, but he's a different animal. He's a different zach. It's not a chassidisha. He's a very, very, very halachic, strict halachic Jew. He's a chassid and a chadami, but he's a you can't really put him in the club of
Stam Hasidic stereotype.
What?
He's 100% chassid.
Yeah, I'd say he's more than like a 98% chassid. Anyway, Adman Allah, Kori Lamafreya, Shkayach. We finished another parak under our belt. This is amazing.
Fantastic.
Hakoras Megillah Mafreya Lo Yotze. So you're not Yotze if you're Lamafreya. It's fantastic. Okay, Shkayach. So this is we are well, technically speaking, in Prakim, halfway done through Megillah, but we are more than halfway done, and now we begin. Now we start to really get off on off of Megillah and more onto other inyanei, Bisa Torah and stuff like that, Parson al Shema, different good zachin coming up here, and I won't be here for any of it. So Hakoras Megillah, Omed VeYoshev. A person who reads a Megillah can either do so standing up or sitting down. The Gemara in Omed Beis, whomever is doing that, oh, Dr. Kallis, is going to say that's Omed VeYoshev, but Masha'en came a Torah. The Torah, when you read the Kriyas HaTorah, it's got to be standing up. But Megillah, it could be done Omed VeYoshev, it could be done standing up or sitting down. Why is Torah any different? I'm sorry, this is our Gemara today. Why is Torah any different? Where am I? So I'm on the plane. So why is Torah any different? The Gemara is going to discuss why is Torah different. But the Megillah can be read even standing, sitting down. I've never seen anybody sit down while reading the Megillah. This mission is mashma that it is l'charchila to sit down.
What's it called? The year I had my back surgery, someone came and read for me, and they sat down.
They sat down.
I think it's fine. In the private reading, I think it's fine. And in public, it has to be.
Standing up? Are you sure about that?
I don't know what
this mission at least is mashma that they are equal footing. Omed v'yoshev, it doesn't sound like, it doesn't say if you're yoshev, it's kosher. It's Omed v'yoshev. I wonder if lahalacha, you might be right, because it's a kavadat tzibur type of issue. Yeah. It might be a shtickle kavadat tzibur.
Yeah.
But I wonder. Anyway, when you're sitting down, it's hard to project your voice, so it's a practical aspect also. But I wonder if lahalacha we say that you should do it mishum kavadat tzibur. Okay.
But I wonder privately, too. Though.
I'd love to know the halacha on this.
I think it's a mix of practical, but it's also like the kavod of the people that you're reading. If there's you're reading for two people and you're screaming over them.
Yeah.
It could be difficult, you know?
Yeah. Okay, understood. Anyway, just as a ha'ara, the Mishnah seems to call Yoshev as the Charchila. Kara echad kara shnayim, whether one person or two people read it, yatsu. That's fine. You can even have two people read it at the same time. The Gemara in Amud Beis, this is Amud Beis. The Gemara in Amud Beis will say, why is it that you can read, two people can read it at one time when it comes to Kriyas Megillah, and as we'll see, Halil as well. But when it comes to Kriyas Torah, you cannot have that.
Two people.
The Gemara will discuss.
Two Bali Kori are reading the Megillah.
Yeah, you can have it at the same time. Okay, now why would you ever do that? When would that ever happen? It wouldn't, and why? And you wouldn't.
Maybe at the
Kotel. Maybe at the Kotel, that's a very good.
The two people like reading Torah though, it's like think like Simchas Torah. You know, everybody's getting Aliyah. You could have multiple places.
Yeah,
it's not so difficult. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and a Chadami. Yeah, you got to be separate.
But I think this is talking about two people reading the same words at the same time.
Same words at the same time.
What you're talking about isn't.
You're right. It's not right, exactly. You're not reading at the same time. You're not reading the same words. Yes. Yes.
Oh, right. You're right.
But I guess
they have to be separate. Ideally, everybody should be reading their own aliyah.
Yeah. That's a separate zach, and the person, you're right about that, and the person who's getting the aliyah should not be loud. He should not be loud when he's getting up for his bracha. He should whisper it. That's a very good point. He should not be loud enough that anybody can hear him, because they would have a problem of trei kali la mishtamai. We had that in Rosh Hashanah. We're going to have that again in Megillah Daf Amud Beis and Daf Beis over here, and I am not going to be here for it. So. Did I mention that? Makom shenagu levarech yevarech. The makom, in a place where the minig is to make a bracha, you can make a bracha. B'shelo levarech lo yevarech. And where the minig is not to make a bracha, you don't make a bracha. Again on Amud Beis, I'm missing all the good stuff. It's going to say this is not true by the bracha shelafaneha. The bracha shelafaneha is mandatory. It's mandatory. But the bracha shelachareha is what the Mishnah is discussing as optional.
B'sheni v'chameish v'shabbos b'mincha. Now we get on to Kriyas HaTorah in general. On Monday and Thursday and on Shabbos Mincha, Koren Shlosha, we have three people read, meaning Kohen Levi of Yisrael. Ein pochse mehem ve'mosif an aleihem. You cannot do any less than three. You cannot do any more than three. Ve'ein maftir in banavi, and there's no haftarah. The person who gets up, who's the leadoff hitter and the cleanup hitter, if you will, he will read before, he will make the bracha before and after. What do I mean? For those of you who don't understand leadoff hitter and cleanup hitter, I don't know why you wouldn't in this context.
It's baseball.
But basically, the Kohen who gets up to read the first aliyah, he makes the bracha shalefaneha. He does not make a bracha shalachareha after his three psukim, four psukim, whatever it is. Yisrael gets up, he does not make a bracha bichlal, not lefaneha and not lachareha. He just gets up there.
You mean Levi?
I'm sorry, Levi. Levi gets up there, the second guy. He gets up there and they just start reading Kristur. This is all Mishnaic times. The Gemara is going to say later on that we had an institution of everybody making a bracha before and after, which is what we have nowadays. But in Mishnaic times, you had the leadoff hitter make the bracha shalafaneha. He did not make a bracha shalachareha. Levi got up there and they just started reading. Then Yisrael gets up there for the third aliyah. He does not make a bracha shalafaneha, but when it's all said and done, he makes a bracha shalachareha. So you have the leadoff hitter making the bracha shalafaneha. You have the cleanup hitter, or the three hitter.
I have a whole new perspective
hitter.
Of Ricky Henderson and Jose Canseco. I'll never look at the
same way. There you go. Jose Canseco is making the bracha shalachareha. Anyway, haposeach v'chosim batorim mevaruch lefaneha lachareha barashi chadashim. But was it something I said, Callis? What did
I... Gotta get a banana chef.
What did I do?
Baseball
yeah, but what? Yeah. It's these baseball... I know, they're killing me. They're killing me. I'm losing all these guys. We used to have like 8 or 9 guys in this year. It has to be the baseball references. I'm
bad
thinking.
Enough you defend adults. Now you're defending children.
You did
start with a share where people were like in their late 70s, early 80s. So
right. I guess there's going to be fallout.
Between the timeline of the share and the 80s...
I get
80s,
it.
Sooner
I get
it.
By the time we get to Yavam, it's basically without the two people.
You're going to soon have a gun here.
There we go. Okay.
Or Mapella.
I think I scared Rabbi Yaakov. Anyway, Barashi Chadash and Mechol Shamoed, Adosh Chodesh and Cholamoid, Koran Arba. We add a kriya. We add one guy. Ein pochse mehem ve'mosif an aleihem. You cannot do any less than four or any more than four. Ve'ein maftir in benavi. Again, there's no haftarah. The person who comes up first, he will make the beginning bracha, and the person who comes in last will make the ending bracha. Mevarach lefanel achareha. Zaklal. Here's the general rule, says the Mishnah. Kol sheyish ba musaf ve'eno yamtif. Any day where there is musaf, but it's not a yamtif, i.e. Rosh Chodesh, i.e. Cholamoid, then I yamtif. But you do add a musaf, koran arba. Then you read four. Bi yamtif chamisha. On yamtif, we add another guy. Bi yom kippur mshisha. Yom kippur, we add another guy. Bi Shabbos shiva. On Shabbos, we read seven. The Gemara is going to discuss why is it that we're adding in each of these cases another person. We do not do any less than is stipulated for each day. But in these days, Yom Tif, Yom Kippur, and Shabbos, you can do Hosafos. The Gemara will discuss why are you allowed to do Hosafos here and not on Sheni Chamishi. Umaftir and Banavi, and there is a Haftarah. Again, the person leading up is going to, he's going to make the bracha shalafaneha. The person who's batting last is going to make the bracha shalachareha. Three times the Mishnah says, haposeach v'achosim matorah, mevarach lefaneha lachareha. It says the same thing three times. Tosis asks, why do you have to tell me this three times? Tosis answers, I might think that since you're adding an aliyah, v'yomtif, you're adding one. Yom Kippur, you're adding two. Shabbos, you're adding three. You're adding all these aliyahs. I might think, if you're adding aliyahs, maybe you can also add brachos. There's an additional Kedusha component, perhaps. Or, as the Gemara will say, that the reason why we add all these is because there's no Bittul Malacha. So maybe you could say that there is no Bittul Malacha. You can add brachos as well. So anyway, Tosa says, you might think so. Kamash Balan, the Mishnah is telling you, we do not. Now we have a Takana, as the Gemara is going to say, Mishum Nechnas, Mishum Ayotzim, we have a Takana, that we make a bracha lefaneh ulachareha, each person. So now it's not as relevant nowadays. But anyway... Tana, says the Gemara, Masha'ein Kein B'Torah, that which we say that the person reading the Megillah can read it, Miyushav, that is not true when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, of the Sefer Torah. Minani Mili, how do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yabod, Amar Kra, Pasuk says, "Va'ata po amori madi." Hashem says to Moshe, "You here, you Moshe, amori madi. I want you to stand with me." So there's a chiv of standing when it comes to Torah. Va'am Rabbi Abahu, imali mikra kasuv. Rabbi Abahu says, "Had the pasuk itself not said so, iyeshul amro, it would be impossible for me to say that." Because kavayachal afakadosh baruch hu ba'amida, kavayachal Hashem is standing. What does it mean? Amodi madi, as if Hashem is standing. We would never be able to say that if not for the fact that the Torah itself says that Hashem was standing.
Again, we're talking about the Baal Korei here.
Oh yes, we're talking about a Baal Korei.
We're talking about the people that are being yotzi.
What?
We're talking about I just want to get clarity. Baal Korei, right?
Yes, we're talking about a Baal Korei. The Gemara is now going to, by extension, the Gemara is now going to say a person learning Torah in general should do so ba'amida. Let's see what the Gemara says. That's a perfect segue. Amar Rabbi Abahu, minayin l'rav shelo yeshav agabe mita, v'yishne l'talmido al gabe karka. How do we know that the Rav should be on equal footing with the Talmidim? If the Rav is sitting, you shouldn't have the students who are beneath him, below him, and if he's standing, you shouldn't have them sitting. You should have everybody on equal footing, which is interesting because I never really noticed it. But very often you have these magid shir who are sitting down when they're giving shir. It could be because the talmidim are sitting down also, so they, you know, to be on equal footing, shouldn't be standing. When I taught back in high school, I was always standing, but I didn't know this gemara. So there you have it. Anyway, none of the kids caught me.
You taught Jim?
I taught Jim, yeah. And they were all sitting, and I'm like getting up there, like doing jumping jacks. I didn't get it.
Like Jim or Homer?
It could also be the Maggie Cheer is 70 years old, and he needs to sit. I mean, isn't
that? Well, that could have been also, yeah. Yeah, that could be also. Most of the time, they're 70 or over. Bad backs. Anyway, so how do we know that you have to be on equal footing? Because again, we learn from Amodi Madi, you have to be with me. So the Talmidim should be on the same equal footing as the Rav. It's a learning tool. Tamra Rabbanan. Miyamos Moshe v'ad Rabban Gamliel. From the times of Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabban Gamliel, lo hayu lemedim Torah elam umad. They would only learn Torah standing up. Okay? Mishameis Rabban Gamliel. And that's probably from the pasuk Amodi Madi. They would learn it standing up. There was a kedusha. There was a special component to Torah to be learned stand up.
So that was for about 2,000 years, right?
Rabban Gamliel. Yeah, that was a good chunk of time.
From Har Sinai to this is the times of Tanaim, right?
Yeah, Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel Hazakin, yeah. Mishameis Rabban Gamliel Yered Choli Leolam. When Rabban Gamliel died, there was a sickness that overcame the world. And then people had to sit down. They couldn't stand standing. They couldn't stand it. Behind the Tanan, and that's why we learn in the Mishnah, Mishameis Rabban Gamliel Batal Kavada Torah. That's what it means in the Mishnah in Sota when it says that Rabban Gamliel died, there was a Batal Kavada Torah. What does it mean there was a Batal Kavada Torah? I think the way the Gemara is understanding is not that people lacked kavod for the Torah, but that people didn't have what it took to stand up the whole time. They just couldn't. They couldn't stand it. Couldn't stand it. So there you have it. So they were standing up from times of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Kosov Echad Omer, one of the psukim says that when it comes to Moshe standing up in Har Sinai, it says Va'eshev Bahar, that I sat on the mountain. The Kosov Echad Omer Vanochi Amadati Bahar. And yet another pasuk says that Moshe says I was standing in the Har. So what was it? Was he sitting or was he standing? So we have four shitas over here to reconcile this stira and this psukim. Amar Rav. Rav says, Omed velomed Yoshev Vishone. That he was Omed velomed. He was standing up when he was originally learning it. And he was Yoshev Vishone. And he was Yoshev and when he was repeating it, meaning when he was chazering it, as Rashi says, Shanis, when he was chazering it, then he sat down. Which is interesting, because the Gemara had previously said that from Miyamos Moshe, Va'ad Rabban Gamliel, everybody was omdim. Everybody was standing. So how do we reconcile that with this Gemara that says that he was sitting when he was chozer? Does that mean to say...
And in addition, he's on 40 days, 40 nights and days in Shemayim with the Rabbon Sha'olam. I didn't understand they didn't need to sit. I guess he didn't eat, so maybe whatever it is.
I don't know. And Echadami, right? Echadami, what does that mean? What does that mean? Rashi says, Yoshev Vishona, Shenis Levado. When he was chazering it Levado, by himself. Which is interesting, because he's up in the mountain, and he's L'chorah with Hashem the whole time. So what does it mean, Levado? Was he learning? Like, was there a time where Hashem said, "All right, I gotta catch a break. You go by yourself." Like,
I'm gonna get a cup of coffee and hit a chazer, you know.
So what is that? What is that? Like, what's the pshat? What's the pshat that he was levado? What does that? What does that even mean? You know, Moshe was with Hashem for 40 days and 40 nights. He was mamish steiging. He was steiging with Hashem.
Do we assume it's the same level of closeness the entire time? There's 50, and Moshe Rabbeinu's on 50, or it can go down to 48.
Perhaps,
at some point?
Perhaps not. I don't know. Rabbi Chanina Aymar, Rabbi Chanina says, "Lo omer v'lo yoshev." Neither is true. He was not standing, nor was he sitting. Elo shoche. He was bent over. So that's like a sign of humility and subjugation. And he was kind of crouched over in that state. What? Mekayim both, exactly. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, "Ein yeshiva elo shenakava." Doesn't mean that he was sitting down. Va'eshev Bahar doesn't mean, and I was sitting in the mountain. It means that I was deliberating. I was there for a while, right? I was held back. What's a good word? Good English word. I was restrained. Restrained sounds like he was trying to get out. What?
Contemplated?
It wasn't. Yeah,
impeded?
I don't know. Whatever. What is what?
Impeded.
He wasn't impeded because he didn't want to. He wasn't trying to break free of Hashem's presence. A cover usually means to be restrained, but it doesn't mean that. It means that he was there for a while. He was settled, basically. Vayishev is the lesson of settled, right? Vayishev Yaakov be'eretz Begurei Aviv is Vayishev is that he's settled. I was settled in the mountain. Shenemar. Vateshvu v'kadesh yomim rabim. We see that the lashon of vateshev is also a lashon of being settled, as they settled in kadesh for many days. I don't know why the Gemara brings the raya from vateshvu v'kadesh yomim rabim, which is all the way up in Dvarim, when it could have said vayeshev Yaakov, which is, I believe, the first time it says vayesh, the word vayeshev, but that would have also mean settled. So I'm not really sure what the difference is here. But at any rate, the point of the Gemara is that Va'eshev does not mean that he was sitting. At no point was he sitting. He was standing the whole time, but he was settled there, meaning he was staunchly there. And the fourth shita is Rava Amar. Rava says, a very interesting understanding, Rakos Me'umad, the soft Gemaras, the easier to understand Gemaras, were Me'umad, he did standing, and Kashos Me'yushav, the more complex Gemaras, he did sitting down. I guess you needed a certain, you know, to be in a certain state of mind, so you couldn't be bothered by what your, you know, how your legs were holding up. So he would sit down, and so he could totally be mirukaz and focused. And so the more difficult gemaras he actually learned sitting down, whereas the easier ones he did standing up. But again, I don't know how these gemaras exactly jive with the Tana Rabbanan that said that Moshe Rabbeinu was the whole time, Miyamos Moshe Adram Gamliel, you learned standing up. So what did it mean over here? It's very, very difficult to understand. The shita of Rabbi Chanina, who says, or Rabbi Yochanan, who says that he was standing up the whole time, and yeshiva doesn't mean sitting, makes sense. But everybody else is very, very difficult to understand, indeed. In fact, if you look, anybody who does Shnai Mikra v'Echad Targum and Echad Rashi, this week's parsha, Rashi mentions that that at no point was. At no point was he sitting down. I believe Rashi says that he was lomed mipia gvura and yoshev v'shone. There's a Rashi over here that is soser this opinion of Rav. I don't remember how he soser it, but ayin sham, when you get there, it's actually only in like Shani, but Shani and Rishon and Shani are so long. That
so he was standing for 40 days, but when he was like holding his arms up for like an afternoon, he gets like weighed down.
He was in a total state of ruchnius when he was up in the mountain. Mm-hmm. When he was up in the mountain davening, I think he was just a regular human being who was trying to do his best. But you know, Moshe on the har was on no physical, you know, human plane. So I don't think it's difficult to say that he was standing. If he was fasting,
he could be on his head. Yeah,
right. Exactly. He could be on his head spitting nickels. It didn't really matter. Yeah. It didn't really matter.
I don't know why that was bothering me.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's God. Pretty much do anything. We'll leave it at that. I don't think there's anything more to say about that.
All right, that's all.
So that sums that up. Man, we've been. This is a 29-minute show. What's been going on with me? Am I losing my touch or something?
I don't know.
We usually go 48 minutes. Here I'm going 29.